Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tahunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
Good morning. This morning's scripture is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 33 to 37. So Pilate went back to the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Pray with me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. Scholars refer to this, though it's long past the middle of John's Gospel, they refer to it as the second half of John's Gospel because he's as pointed here as he is in the first couple of chapters where he lays out the framework for the power and strength that Jesus lives with. In this text, Pilate is not interested in theology. To him, there is only one God, and it is Caesar. And that's irrefutable, and he is immovable. He is asking Jesus if he is a threat to Caesar. And when Jesus' first response, he says, "What's the easiest answer? I'm not a Jew. How would I know whether you are king of the Jews?" And finally, when Jesus responds, then, of course, the stage is set for the Passion. What's really interesting, at least to me, the most powerful line in the text is omitted from this week's reading. And that is 18:38, where Jesus does this beautiful soliloquy of what truth is and how people belong to the truth if they love God. And then out of the lips of Pilate, "What is truth?" And we play that game in the 21st century. Truth is slippery, or so it seems. What are we interested in terms of truth? And I don't mean politically or anything more than what strikes at our hearts and minds. Several weeks ago, I was listening to a Prairie Home companion. Garrison Keillor was sharing a story about Paul Yangdo, whom you may or may not know if you're a musician, was Chet Atkins' right-hand man, literally. Most of Chet Atkins' important recordings, he was there playing. And Chet Atkins was on the plane, and five other people, including Garrison Keillor, and they were on a small plane and hitting some inclement weather. And Harrison looked at Paul and said, "Paul, you appear nervous or worried, and I know you're an experienced flyer, so it doesn't seem that it could be that." And he said, "Well, here's what I think." Paul says, "If this plane goes down, it's going to say Chet Atkins and five other musicians died in a plane flight." He said, "And I don't want to be one of them others. So sometimes what we're worried about or what causes us concern in terms of what's true is our own fear of being forgotten, of not being remembered. And for Mr. Yangdahl, that was true. My mother had many famous phrases, and since she's a long time dead, I can put them in her mouth and not have her refute them. But she would say, "Right is right and wrong is nobody." I don't know where she borrowed that from, but she said many other things. And one of the things I grew up with, one of those lines, was, "Things are not always as they seem. Skim milk often masquerades as cream." Now, yes, I'm edumacated. I went to college, and I knew it was from a Gilbert and Sullivan musical, but I did not know that Mr. Gilbert was Sir. That was something new to me. And it's from HMS Pinafore. I'm sure most of you know that. The point of it is things get by us. And what was getting by Pilate was he was stuck on the letter of the law and had no heart for the Spirit. The truth that Jesus spoke to had nothing to do with facts or figures. You know that story, don't you? I don't remember the politician that uttered it, but it said, "There's untruths, lies, and statistics." And the fact is that we can bend language and bend things to work for us in terms of truth. We do it every day. The newspapers do it for us. We see that the truth sometimes isn't as clear as it might be. Mark McGwire led the major leagues in home runs, and then we found out he took steroids when they were perfectly legal to be taken. But what really bothered us was he lied. He refused to admit to it. And it might cost him the ability to get into the Hall of Fame. I hope not. But you know, we're vindictive and mean-souled people. We all want to be forgiven, but it's hard sometimes. And the difficulty we struggle with is that people do dishonest things. Bankers steal. Teachers fudge. Yeah, cheat. To raise their students' test scores because they're under such pressure. Students plagiarize. People hedge their bets on their taxes. The truth becomes the first casualty, if you will. And I know it's attributed to war, but it can become the first casualty. And so when I hear my mother saying how important truth is, she did say, though, and she laughed at this, that there are some instances when a question is asked that demands a lie because the people aren't interested in the truth. If somebody asks, for example, how old your mother is, they don't deserve the truth. If somebody asks how much money your parents have in the bank, they don't deserve the truth. There are some instances. So where do we live? Well, Jesus is clear. His allegiance is to follow God, to live towards the truth he knows in his heart. And that means living justly, graciously, and honestly. Each of us is very frustrated, at least I do, if somebody doesn't tell me the truth when I've asked them to tell me the truth. It's frustrating, maybe even a little anger producing because it's a kind of betrayal. But there are times when we don't want the truth, to paraphrase that great line from Jack Nicholson, because we can't handle the truth, or we're too afraid to know it. I am an inveterate reader of the comics, I tell you that. I read all those advice columns, Dear Abby Ann Landers, Ask Amy, whatever it is. In one this past week, and I don't remember which one, I just love the story. This man is writing. He says, my wife and I have been married, I think he said, about a decade. They have two young children. He said, but my wife has moved out. No, my wife has pawned her wedding rings, moved out, and is dating another man. And when I ask her pointedly, is there a chance for us? She says, I really don't know. And so the question then is, what should I do? Is my marriage over? And usually these advice columnists see your clergy, see a counselor, do everything to reconcile. And the advice begins, I rarely say this, but if your wife has pawned her rings, moved out, and is dating others, your marriage is over. It's just the reality. But then the truth of it comes out. Your obligation is to your young children. Do everything you can to protect them, because they will need all of your energy and effort. See, it's not about us, but we want to make it about us. It's about how we live towards others. What makes this text difficult is we're all anticipating Advent. And Advent means lions and tigers and bears, oh my, and lollipops and trees and cider, oh goody. And yet, we're linking the passion and the birth narrative. And I am always a little uncomfortable with that. But it's the fact of how the cycle of the church year works. We have to belong to the truth that is all of our faith tradition, not just the ones that bring us warm fuzzies. I've told you time and again, I'm not real big on body and blood language in theology. It seems a little too barbaric for me. But here we sang something today that is a great historic hymn. And, you know, I didn't faint. He got through it. Part of our faith tradition means we hold the tension of what is true about the love of God, and especially about the way and wonder that we know is Jesus. Sometimes we need to be uncomfortable, and that's just the truth, to paraphrase Billy Tomlin. So be it, and amen.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.